This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Monday night here on the OBR Streaming Network, and that means it's time for OBR Unscripted. I'm your host, Michael Keefe. That's my co-host, Andrew Spade. And Andrew, just when I was starting to think, oh boy, another week where there's not really a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Just when I was starting to think that. When that was starting to happen. Things kind of erupted today, didn't they?
Well, yeah, there's always, you know, people got to yell about something.
Oh, and they have been doing.
Yes.
Yell they have been doing. We got some stuff to talk about tonight. We got people talking about when the Browns are going to have to trade Nick Chubb. We figure that'll be the fun conversation of the night. I have a feeling Andrew and I are not going to agree on that, so I'm excited to have that conversation. We got people talking about trading draft picks and doing stuff like that, so we'll get into that. And frankly, I think it's all going to boil down to just a conversation about roster construction, but we'll get to that as well. Before we do, let me just pitch our home here. The OBR is the best, oldest independent news site for Cleveland Browns coverage that you will find out there. The OBR, the best place for Browns coverage. Make sure you're following the OBR on all the socials, and make sure you are tuned in all week to the OBR Streaming Network. Jake Burns bringing Dueling Mocks back tomorrow night. Garage Beers, we got our buddy Emmett Golden coming on with us tomorrow night. That'll be a good time. Wednesday, it's Barry and Fred on OBR Weekly, and Thursday, we'll see what Brad Ward has in store for us on All Eyes on Cleveland. But again, even in the slowest, most horrible parts of this offseason, here on the OBR, we're still doing four nights a week. We're still doing four nights a week, and some of the best written coverage you're going to get out there on the OBR's website. So make sure you are tuned into all of it. If you want to be part of the conversation with us tonight, it's easy. Jump in the comments.
Yeah.
We love when those comments are lively. Fumble13's already getting things rolling. He's all fired up about Geno Smith. We might talk about that. But get in the comments, be a part of the show, and you know on Unscripted, you can take us places that we didn't even think we were going to go. So
that's right.
Make sure you're joined in. Andrew, man, how are you, by the way? It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, Mike. You know, up and down this time of year is can be tough. You know, it's beautiful one day and awful the next, you know, weather wise. And, you know, there's always something going on. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah, got some ups and some downs. But I would say right now I'm doing good. Happy to be here with you. It looks like you are in a hotel room. Let me just guess to start the show. Let me guess where you are.
Ooh, feel it.
I'm going to go, I'm going to say Chicago.
Ooh, terrible guess. It's a really bad guess.
Okay, let me take another one. Second guess, I'm going to go with Dallas.
Oh, another really bad guess.
Okay, I'm done.
Look at Ty Sox says Miami. Ooh, we should just play this. Fumble 13 says Residence Inn. Nope, that ain't right. That ain't right. Not in a Residence Inn. I'm not in Dallas, Miami, or Chicago. I might let this ride out. I might let this play
Charleston,
out.
Charleston, West Virginia.
God, I wish. Just what a beautiful place. Actually, I will tell you this.
That's country.
I don't know when the last time you were in Charleston, West Virginia is.
Yeah.
But we actually stayed there overnight. My family and I, we were coming back from a trip in South Carolina. Mm. And we stayed in Charleston, West Virginia for the night just to get out of the car for a little bit. And they have a place there. It's a brewery / a burrito joint. And it's really delicious, like really delicious. So, oh man, I love the guesses coming in. I'm not in Nashville. That was a couple weeks ago. No, I'm not in Battle Creek, Michigan. No, Paul Spencer, shut up.
Just being mean. Paul's just being mean.
His wife kicked him out. Oh God.
Imagine
she wouldn't kick me out. I've never even heard of Ottumwa, Iowa, but I'm not.
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, that's a good guess.
You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I used to live in Wisconsin.
Oh, well, then you know everything about Iowa, obviously.
Neighbors.
neighbors. All right, I'm saving this. I'm saving this till the end. But it's one of my favorite cities. One of my favorite cities is where I'm at. So this is okay. It's a good place to be. Anyways, Andrew, let's jump into this a little bit. Yeah. Let's jump into this and let's talk about the thing that's got Browns fans in an uproar, which is people have just started the conversation. Like, God, this is what I love about the offseason. People have just like started, like just something will get said. Mm-hmm. Like somebody, all somebody did was just say something.
Yeah.
There's no rumors.
No.
There's no rumors. There's no actionable stuff. There's nothing like that. But somebody went online and said something.
That's right.
About the Browns trading Nick Chubb. And it is what everybody's been talking about all day long.
That's correct. So,
knowing the contract situations,
mm-hmm.
knowing the feeling about positional values, as you read through all the very strong and heated opinions about all of this, where do you find yourself, Andrew?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's tough, right? I mean, you go back to the Trent Richardson decision, you know, that was a fleecing because Trent Richardson was never going to be, you know, was never going to be what Nick Chubb is, right? So to get any value for Trent Richardson, much less a first-round draft pick, was a coup.
I mean, that is, can we just say that is one of the largest fleecings that's ever happened.
100%.
Absolutely. In the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
A first-round draft pick for Trent Definitely. Richardson.
Yeah. It's bizarre that it happened. And, you know, so it's not apples to apples with Nick Chubb, but, you know, there is a similar feeling of if you can trade a running back for a real live, you know, asset that could really tangibly help this team, no matter how good they are, I think you have to consider it just because even the best running back in the league, which I think Nick Chubb is, from an expected points added basis is not as valuable as, you know, I mean, they're not even breaking even for the most part. It's still a negative EPA play to run the ball. So I think my answer is it would depend on the compensation. I am not interested in trading Nick Chubb for a third round pick, probably not even like a late second round pick. I don't think that makes sense. But if some team wants to get real weird and trade like a late first, I don't see how you turn that down.
Mm. Yeah, you just kind of hang up, in my opinion. you just kind of hang up, in my opinion. This is where sometimes the conversation loses me just a little bit.
Sure.
Because I think sometimes the nuance is so focused on being nuancey that sometimes we lose track of good players help win football games. And we could talk about why haven't they won with Nick Chubb, and that's not necessarily what I mean. But, like, to just sit there and trade away one of your best players for a second-round draft pick, even if it's first pick of the second round, I can't get behind that yet. And we can sit and talk about, do you think Nick Chubb's going to get another contract in Cleveland? I don't think he's not. I don't know that I would say that he is, but I wouldn't sit here today and say Nick Chubb definitely can't get another contract in Cleveland. I think sometimes it just gets a little too wacky for me in terms of running backs don't win, but wide receivers, like, I think it all just boils down to, Andrew, I think there's only one position on the football field that really matters all that much. And that is a true opinion of mine. We have watched this team go through the best offensive linemen and the worst offensive linemen and the best running backs and the worst running backs and really good wide receivers and not so good wide receivers. And we've watched them go through all of it. And defensively, we've watched them have Pro Bowlers at every level of the defense over the course of the years. But there's one position that the Cleveland Browns haven't gotten right in 20 plus years. And so it's hard for me to be like, oh, well, they could trade Nick Chubb and maybe build up with, like, you know, add like a couple mid-round type wide receivers, and I think that's going to be better. Unless your quarterback is killing it, I don't really know that it matters who else is out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
So, you know, when we're sitting here talking about Nick Chubb and, oh, do you trade him for, I just don't know. I can't get behind saying, yeah, get rid of this guy because I think a first, like, I think the first overall pick in the second round would make the team better. I don't know. Well, I can't say that.
Well, to your point about improving the quarterback play, you know, I mean, and let's, you know, let's trace back. Let's take a step back and trace back what this conversation is about, right? Matthew Berry wrote an article today saying that he heard at the combine that the Browns are going to be a much pass happier offense in 2023, right? So that clip got quote tweeted or tweeted out by a few different Browns, you know, aggregation accounts. And one of them, I don't remember who it was, said, if this is true, the Browns should consider trading Nick Chubb. And then I think I know TA, you know, who's great, you know, on Twitter and really analytically minded. He added on to that saying, like, if you could get, you know, he said, if you could get 58 from Miami, you know, then you'd have to consider it just due to the fact that you could package, potentially one thing you could do is package 58 and 42 to get back into the first round. So, you know, one thing that we have to get straight here is that the all of this started because there's credible reporting. I think Matthew Berry is a pretty connected dude, even though he's using it mostly for fantasy purposes. There's credible reporting that the Browns are going to change their offense and run the ball less. So if they're going to do that, then that diminishes Nick Chubb's value, right?
Oh, yes, sort of. Like, I feel like Nick Chubb is... again, this conversation has gone so off the wire for me in terms of just forever, the last 2 years, right? The whole conversation with the fans of, well, if he doesn't get 20 carries, we're wasting Nick Chubb. I think if the offense is fluid and efficient, whether it's passing the ball or running the ball or both, like I feel like if you're in a little bit more of a pass heavy offense, Nick Chubb can become just as much of a weapon. Because okay. Nick Chubb is a freak. Nick Chubb is not a replaceable running back. Like that's something I want to say. Like we have this conversation with running backs that you can get rid of Nick Chubb and then you can just throw in there, I don't know, name running back here. You know what I mean? Like Jeff Wilson. Like you sure. can just go get yeah. Jeff Wilson and yeah, Raheem Mostert.
Sure. Yeah.
And chuck them in at running back and it's the same.
No, it's not. No,
it's not. He's not he is not a replaceable running back. And yeah. So even if you're going to go more pass heavy in your offense, Larry's out of here.
Larry Bedouin's leaving because we're talking about trading Nick Chubb. That's fine. That's fine, man. I mean,
we got to talk about it. It's worth the discussion.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, so. Okay.
I don't think, to be clear,
we're going to have this conversation. One thing you got to do is stop bringing up arguments I'm not making. Okay. So,
I know, you and I are really arguing.
There's a lot of Nick Chubb discourse that is out there that is bad. And so, one thing we can do is just keep that shit out of this room. Right. So,
but I like to clean up the shit. It makes me feel like I'm doing something in the world, Andrew. It makes me feel like I'm cleaning shit up in the world.
Yeah, throw some gloves on and just get in there.
There's a lot of shit out there.
So I think the point that you made about him not being replaceable is absolutely true, but it is premised on a version of the Browns offense that we might not see in 2023. And I think if they do go to more shotgun runs, if they go to more spread formations, if they try and use the back as a receiver more often, if they make all of those changes, then I actually think Chubb is pretty close to replaceable because his strengths as a runner are not in that system. They are as a downhill runner, a zone runner, and certainly not as a back that's used as a receiver. I mean, we've seen him struggle with that over the years. So it's not that he's not talented. He is the most gifted running back in the NFL in the open field. There's nobody I'd rather have in the open field in the NFL, truly, because he can make the most number of guys miss. I mean, that's what the statistics back up. But what he will be asked to do in this offense, if the changes that are being rumored here are – come to fruition is not as valuable as the type of player that they might be able to get with the assets they get for him.
And again, what you're saying makes sense to me. What you're saying makes sense, except for the fact that I do think Nick Chubb is a valuable runner out of the shotgun. I don't know that Nick Chubb is overly valuable in the passing game, but that's a guy you can bring in to team up with Nick Chubb and play that game. And you're going to have to anyways. One of these guys, they're either going to have to bring somebody in or somebody's going to have to step up anyways to be that kind of pass-catching running back. But if you are going to be a really good passing team, somebody who said it before, I think it was, let me get up here. It was Kevo. If they are become a really talent, like if Deshaun Watson becomes Deshaun Watson again, and they're wide receivers, they pick up a better wide receiver and you got three pretty good wide receivers you're trotting out there plus some of the young guys and you really open up this offense. David Njoku breaks out. And things are going well. Now you've got less guys in the box for Nick. I still think he's valuable because Nick Chubb is one of the few guys in the NFL that you can hand the ball off on any single play and he can take it for a touchdown. So even if he's not getting 20 carries a game, even if Nick Chubb turns into a 14 to 15 carry a game guy, and that's just what he is with the Browns, he still is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. He's still a guy that can take the ball to the house anytime. And he makes your life way easier in the red zone. Like when you get into scoring territory, Nick Chubb makes your life easier. And you're not saying this. I just can't get behind this. Like running back's not a valuable position. You spend that money elsewhere. I've watched for years and years and years as the best wide receivers in football. Calvin Johnson didn't win shit. Best wide receiver in football. He didn't win shit. They didn't do anything. So sometimes we're talking about, you know, the EPA and the position breakdown and all that stuff. When sometimes it can just be broken down to that player's really good and we want him around. And that's what Nick Chubb is for me. He's just really good and I want him around.
Yeah. I mean, I think at that point I think you can make that argument, right? That he has a skill set that kind of can't be replaced. And I see a lot of people in chat saying that, right? That like there's a level of player at which you're not finding another Nick Chubb. And I think that's true. I definitely think that's true. But I think, you know, the problem with that argument is just the part where he might be a luxury that they can't afford. Right? If they are trying to fix the defense and add talent at receiver, they might not have enough cap space and they might need the draft picks to improve those parts of the team. And so that's the balance that they have to strike, you know? So it's not necessarily, do you want Nick Chubb in a vacuum? It's, do you want Nick Chubb instead of DeForest Buckner and, you know, Brandon Cooks, right? Or I'm just picking names out of the air, right? Like that becomes part of the conversation, is what is the opportunity cost of having Nick Chubb on your roster preventing you from, I mean, he's getting paid $12 million. He's hitting a cap for $12 million this year. Yeah. That's a Pro Bowl level player contract at most positions.
I also feel like when I hear that conversation, I feel like there is a little bit of nuance that then doesn't get put into it, which is when we sit and have these arguments in these conversations, and this is a no duh conversation or comment, but it just, I feel like it has to be said sometimes. We sit and talk about, would you rather have Nick Chubb or insert two names here? Well, what's saying these guys are coming here? What's, you know, like that's the other part. Like, right. Let's say you let Nick Chubb walk because I'm going to go ahead. We're going to let Nick Chubb walk because we're going to want to address this. And man, we really want DeForest Buckner. And then DeForest Buckner says, nah, no thanks.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if he has a no trade clause. I mean, it would be a trade with the Colts. So in that case, it would be, we have a trade for Buckner lined up. We have to make the cap space. We want to make the room and we want to get an asset in return for Chubb for the asset that we're sending away for Buckner. So you make the Chubb trade at or right after the same point that you make the Buckner move, right?
Yeah. I just,
same with Brandon Cooks. He's under contract.
Now, I do want to make something. Evan Joseph just made a comment, and I think, and again, Evan, I'm arguing that I want Nick Chubb on this team. That will be my argument. I want Nick Chubb on this team. He's a special player. I don't think he's replaceable. Even in a changed up offense, I don't think Nick Chubb is replaceable. I think he does something that maybe one or two other guys in the league can do, and that's it. But this isn't the argument here. It's not, nobody's saying, even the people that are like, hey, get rid of Nick Chubb. Like I know, Andrew, I know the way your brain works, that you'd be okay with a Nick Chubb trade for the right pieces, right? Not, yep. You know, not just trading him for a fifth rounder, like you said.
Correct.
But it isn't like you're saying it's Nick Chubb's problem that the offense doesn't succeed or whatever. That, nobody's saying
oh,
that.
Oh, no, not at all. No.
And even the people that are like, okay, no, with
it's,
Nick Chubb,
it's actually nobody's the opposite. Saying, like he has made Kevin Stefanski's offense work better than it would have otherwise because he's made guys miss. The number of times where he's been dead to rights at the line of scrimmage and he's made a guy miss and gotten 5 yards out of nothing, Stefanski's offense looks worse if it's all Kareem Hunt this past season. If they traded Nick Chubb last year, or if Chubb, God forbid, got hurt in the preseason and it was Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson, their offense would have been really bad, especially down the second half of the season. So, no, it's definitely not that. And I think that, you know, I mean, we've had this conversation on this air, and I've said it a lot. There are a lot of other questions and assumptions. I mean, Paul Spencer mentioned it earlier. We're assuming in this conversation, we're assuming that they spread things out and Watson can throw the ball and it's working, right? That they're able to run that sort of, aggressive pass heavy offense and they're succeeding. The concern obviously is that you get rid of a player like Chubb, they change the offense and it's like, oh, this offense doesn't work. Let's go back to what works. Oh no, we don't have Nick Chubb. We don't have the guy that like was our offense for many of the past few years. So I think the question is really about value. And I think to get the most value out of their quarterback, who is now the most valuable asset on the team by far, they have to change the offense. And in changing the offense, they are diminishing the value of Nick Chubb.
Now, here's something I want to say to that point, because I was just thinking about this.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
I know what Matthew Berry said.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the focus of the offense going into this offseason, into next season, I don't know if the focus is we need to throw the ball a ton more than what we do, but I think it's we need to be better. We need to have a better passing game than what we've had. We need to be more explosive in the passing game. We need to hit home runs in the passing game. We need to be more reliable in the passing game. And so, again, what I don't see, the type of player that Deshaun Watson is, he can be a top level. Like, this is a dude that has led the league in passing. But I don't know that we're talking about a guy that ever was going to be thought of as, hey, it's Patrick Mahomes, let him sit back there and just sling it all the time. I think a Deshaun Watson offense, the run game is important in a Deshaun Watson offense because he's going to be running the ball in a Deshaun Watson offense. And so to have a good running back there with him and a good offensive line that can run block, I don't think we're talking about the Browns going into an offense where the running game just doesn't really matter. I think the running game matters with Deshaun. I think they're just looking at revamping the offense, not so much just saying, hey, listen, we're here to throw the ball 60 times and the run game, we're going to kind of get away from it. So it's just that part of the report. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me in a Deshaun Watson offense.
That's one where we agree pretty strongly. My sense of, I mean, watching his 2020 season, it was Duke Johnson and post being good David Johnson as running backs. They didn't run the ball much in Houston in 2020 at all, and I mean they were bad.
Right.
But they the offense worked just fine. I mean that was his most productive season, obviously. So, I don't agree that Deshaun Watson needs any sort of a running game to be the sort of successful quarterback that he has been in the past.
Well, this, and Amator just made a comment, and listen, this goes back to the thing I said earlier. You can do this with wide receivers. You can do this with cornerbacks. You can do this with linebackers and defensive linemen. You can do this with all positions. The reason Derrick Henry didn't win is because Ryan Tannehill was Derrick Henry's quarterback. The reason Josh Jacobs, well, I don't know why they didn't, because he plays for the Raiders, is I think the reason he doesn't win. The reason that the teams that are the best teams in football are the best teams in football is because the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and the Bills have Josh Allen and they're outrageous talents. And again, it goes back to what I was saying at first. You got to have your quarterback. And so, yeah, like I know that kind of goes against what I'm saying with Nick Chubb, but we're not proven to have that quarterback yet either. Like, that's the other thing, is I feel like the Nick Chubb conversation is maybe a little too early for where we're at, because I think Deshaun Watson can get to where we think he can go. I believe that Deshaun Watson is that good quarterback that we've seen in the NFL in the past. He hadn't proven it yet, though.
Right. I think that's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, the sort of have your cake and eat it too option here is that they keep Chubb for one more year, try and make it work this year, and then move on next year, because you know his contract is really structured for two more seasons in Cleveland, and so he would still be tradable next year. The value would probably be a little lower, obviously. So that's where it becomes a question of what kind of offers they get if they do receive offers this offseason, and how you weigh those against another season of having him and then trying to move on next year. But you know, the other thing that we're not talking about at all, and is a conversation in the NFL generally, but certainly more so at the running back position, is just that these guys stop being good all of a sudden. I don't think that's going to happen with Nick Chubb this season, but I also don't think it's unthinkable. It's not the same sport, and I don't think it's an apples to apples comparison, but I was absolutely disconsolate when the Indians Guardians traded Frankie Lindor. I thought it was one of the dumbest things they've ever done as a franchise. I hated it top to bottom. I mean, Paul said in chat just a minute ago, would you like the Browns less without Nick Chubb? Absolutely. Nick Chubb is, you know, he's right up there with Myles Garrett in terms of like the guys that I like watching on this team the most. And, yeah, you know, would like happily be like, hey, Nick Chubb's coming over for dinner. That I would be so thrilled, even though he wouldn't say anything to me. That's fine.
That's your favorite kind of dinner.
That's true. Let's all sit in silence and respect the meal.
Invite him into your avatar cave.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be in here talking to my online friends. but
friend Mike.
So I would be bummed. Like, to be clear, I would be bummed if they traded Nick Chubb, but I would also understand it if the value proposition was right and they felt like it was the best way to build this offense the way they want to for 2023.
Yeah, I think if they did it, you know, Philly, I said it before, I think if they did it this year, I feel like it's early. I feel like they are just, I don't know. If, let's say, Nick Chubb comes out and has another monster year next year, I don't know that his value decreases significantly anyways. I mean, I know just naturally it does, but there's going to be a team out there that wants a running back, that really needs one. And if he's as good as he is and you're looking to get out from under his contract, then the value will be there. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you too. Like, there's just this other element of you've got to have good players to win football games. You have to have good players. And I think sometimes this conversation just turns into the fact that there's only one right way to do it.
Right.
There isn't. There's a lot of right ways to do it. And frankly, the team that wins the Super Bowl every year is just the team that figures it out and plays best together. Sure. And they're all built differently, and they're all made up differently. And the team that wins the Super Bowl
there's not a magic formula. Mm-hmm. And that when people get so definitive about, well, if they do this and they can get this and this back for them, then they can do that. And I'm like, yeah, but that, there's no formula.
Right.
Your team wins when your players and your coaches gel to a point that they know what they're going to do. It's like the opposite of what the Browns did last year.
Yep.
Excuse me. When your players and coaches know what they're going to do without having to even talk or communicate or think about it, they know where they're going to be. They know where they're going to do. And you have good players that can execute plays. And do I think, like, that's the thing that goes in my head. Paul asked Andrew, would you be a little bit less of a fan if the Browns lost Nick Chubb? Yeah, I'd be pissed about that. But the other question is, do you think the Browns can win a Super Bowl with Nick Chubb as the running back?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They have to get it right. The coaches have to be good. The players have to be good. It all just has to come together. That's like the missing element for the Browns. Well, the quarterback has been the missing element for the Browns. But then it's that other stuff. And those are the teams that win.
So your closing argument, to be clear, is they should be good.
The Browns?
Yeah, the way the Browns get better is by being good.
Yeah, do better.
Got it. Okay, good. I agree.
Do better. And
less bad. Go. Less bad. Go. Here we go. On three.
Imagine the Cleveland Browns being less bad.
Oof. That's why we're here, isn't it, Mike?
Woo!
Isn't that why we're here, essentially? I mean,
do better.
It's a week, and let's talk about it, because it's a week from today that the negotiating period starts, right? A week from today, there will be free agent rumors hanging from every tree. There will be a present for every girl and boy this time next week. And you know, last year, the Amari Cooper trade broke before that negotiation period. So, you know, there's a chance that by this time next week, we've got some blockbuster Browns trade to be breaking down as well. So, a lot right around the corner, just in terms of like what, you know, if we want the Browns to be better, we want them to kind of tweak this team to avoid what happened the last 2 years of underachieving. We're on the doorstep of it. So I think one of the things I've been thinking is like we've spent the last, what, really 2 months now marinating in what the possibilities are. And certainly over the past few weeks, it's ramped up. One of the things that's at the top of my head is like, is there one thing, you know, last year for me, it was, we got to figure out this Baker Mayfield situation. We got to figure out who the quarterback is, right?
Yep.
That was my one thing. I said, if they can figure that out, then the rest is gravy. And I mean, I didn't know what I was wishing for, right? That's a classic monkey paw situation where,
man, 1 year ago.
Yeah. Woo! I'm telling you, a lot changes in the NFL. So what's the one thing for you? And it doesn't have to be one player, but one thing, like one goal that would be at the top of your Browns 2023 vision board.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can take some time. Chat can jump in on this, too. I can tell you what mine is. I know.
Yeah, go. You start with yours, because there's so many. There's so many things.
There are things on the defense they have to tackle. They have to get a safety that can play deep for sure. They obviously have to figure out the defensive line because two of the four starters can't play, and the fourth one just talked his way out of town. So they have a need at defensive line. But I think the biggest issue, even bigger than those, I really believe, even though Deshaun Watson can elevate mediocre wide receivers, there's an element missing in their wide receiver room. And I think we've seen other teams do this where they've got one more option than the other team can defend. And it takes that offense to the next level and things really erupt. That to me is the number one thing that I would like to see them change about this team from last year to this year, because I think it opens up a lot of the other things. And, you know, the way they built it last year, they thought that they didn't need the defensive line because they didn't think teams would be running on them because they'd have the lead. So that would be more true this year if they can really just go out there and hang 40 on teams. That's what I want to see them do. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with the quarterback. But one way to help the quarterback is to give him another legit option, and that's what I want to see them do.
You know, I think a lot of times we talk about this, and we talk about wide receivers, and we talk about these names. You know, people, and listen, if they were to pull, like, DeAndre Hopkins or DeAndre Hoslins or whatever. if they were to pull a guy like Hopkins or whatever, that's great.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's – I think the thing that I think of, when you think of like these really good football teams, the Chiefs, mm-hmm. it's finding guys that can make plays that are the next tier down.
Mm.
These your third and fourth wide receivers that are out right. there, that's – do you want to know why the Chiefs offense is so good? It's because A, Patrick Mahomes exists, but B, yeah, you got Kelce out there and you used to have Tyreek Hill and you've got other big name guys, but it's their like second, third, fourth wide receivers that are just reliable out there. Just boom, yeah. reliable, can make plays, can do things. That would be an element. Like for me, sure, you've got Amari Cooper and you've got Donovan Peoples-Jones. And I don't know that I really love those two guys together.
Yeah.
Because, but there's nothing behind them.
Right.
They need that. Like, it's that, depth, but depth to me, when I say depth, it's like some guy that can come in and play every once in a while. That's what I'm talking about with depth. I'm not necessarily saying that. It's somebody that's out there all the time, third and fourth wide receivers that can actually make plays. Mm-hmm. Yes. Evan mm-hmm. Joseph just said it in the comments. Sky Moore. They go out and draft Sky Moore last year, and the dude's scoring touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he didn't have a massive year. He wasn't like, we're not talking about wild stats for Sky Moore all year. We're not talking about a guy that was in the conversation for rookie of the year. It isn't that. It's just, yeah, have your guy Amari Cooper, have your guy Donovan Peoples-Jones that can blow the top off every once in a while, but have some guys. It's what Anthony Schwartz is supposed to be.
Right.
And he's not.
Yeah.
It's what you want David Bell to turn into. And I'm not going to say he's not because he was a rookie last year and it doesn't. Yeah. In a wild situation, you're throwing a rookie in there. You need guys that can produce. Like that to me is what separates. I feel like the Browns fans were always talking about the next big name, the next big name.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I think what separates these other teams
are there other good players?
It doesn't have to be no, and I to be clear, I mean I would be happy with Hopkins or Brandon Cooks another big name that we're not even talking about, right? Because that's how it happened last year. Nobody thought Tyreek Hill was getting traded, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about another legit option. It does not have to be an option one. You know, I think a lot of times you say like, well, if you bring in another guy, then all of a sudden Amari's your two. I'm okay with Amari being the one. But I want another two then, right? Because I think it goes Amari, DPJ, obviously Njoku's in there, but it gets so thin so fast. You need another guy in that mix as like a 1B or a 2A to differentiate. Yeah. Ideally somebody with speed, but it could also be somebody that, you know, is great at contested catches, because that's something that DPJ has the ability to do, but it's not really, you know, he doesn't have the consistency there, you know, because
ability to run a route.
Asking him to do that is like asking, you know, it's like asking a Honda Civic to tow a trailer, right? It's like, there's nothing wrong with a Honda Civic. It's a good vehicle for what it does. Don't ask it to do something it can't do, right? He's a value car. Don't try and make him be like a, you know, a Dodge Ram or whatever.
Yeah. Again, OG Philly said it better than I did. Raise the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raise the floor. Go ahead and draft. Oh, I would love to see them spend their first pick on a wide receiver. I think there'll be some good wide receivers there for them to take. And then that guy has to come in and raise the floor.
Sure.
You got to hit on these guys. You got to hit on these guys.
That's the thing about drafting is that a guy at 42 being ready day one is what you need. And that's hard. That's hard.
Right. So you got to hit on these guys. Again, you know, I think this team, as currently constructed, even without that, Andrew, I think this team as currently constructed can be a team that's pushing 30 points a game.
Yeah.
If Deshaun gets back to Deshaun.
Sure.
And again, the thing about last year that I've said 100 times, but going into the season with one game plan, we can put together a whole training camp and a whole game plan starting week one, as opposed to last year where you had to put in two game plans, basically.
Right. Yeah.
a whole training camp, a whole season going into week one. That can only help Deshaun Watson and the offense. And I think even as currently constructed, even if you go out there and get a guy that isn't going to wow you, I don't know, just a third wide receiver that is reliable, that everybody in the fans are screaming that it's not good enough. I think this is an offense that can be pushing 30 points a game. To me, it's got to go back to what we saw last year. We were banking last year on that defense being really good, and they sucked.
Yeah.
They sucked hard, really bad. The worst kind of defense.
Yeah.
So to me, we can talk about all the positions that need to get filled. We can talk about bringing in defensive linemen, but again, your floor being raised on the defense, you know, you got guys you brought in last year that got to be good.
Yep.
On that defensive line. We're talking about having to replace John Johnson now, which again, I don't think any of us would scream about how tough that is based on the way he played here, but you still got to replace that guy with somebody good. It can't be Ronnie Harrison. And so for me, it's the thing for next year is that defense. It has to be able to hit its stride week one under Jim Schwartz.
Yeah.
Sure. No more of this. That's the knock on Joe Woods. Jim Schwartz's defense can't do it. Right. Joe Woods, really shitty first half of the year, and then the team would kind of get better, and he'd be like, well, maybe Joe Woods isn't the problem.
Right.
No. You got to start week one. You got to be on the same page. You got to be an attacking good defense, because I think the offense, as it sits constructed, can be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. I just think that for what they want to do, the transition they want to make on offense to something that Deshaun is more comfortable running, they're going to need another receiving option. But I mean, my second choice behind, you know, adding a wide receiver or, you know, pass catching threat would be fixing the defensive line in a more permanent way, you know. And it doesn't have to be. When I say permanent, I don't mean permanent. Permanent is not the right word. What I mean is a more comprehensive way, like not relying on Jordan Elliott to play meaningful snaps, not relying on Alex Wright even to play meaningful snaps, right? So that means from where they are right now, that means adding probably two free agents at both edge and defensive tackle, adding four free agents to the defensive line, which is an immense investment, right, in the defensive line. But I think that's what they have to do, because I just don't think you can – I mean, to your point about getting off to a fast start – I don't think that you can go into week one and be like, Alex Wright is going to play 50% of our left end snaps. Oh, he's terrible. We're finding out week one that he can't do it. That's shades of last year. And I just don't think they can risk repeating that.
I think the one area though, and it seems to me like we'll see if they get back to it, 'cause it's kind of how they set the team up last year on the defensive line. I think the defensive line is one of those areas that is like the deepest when you talk about being able to bring in veteran players that aren't maybe long-term commitments. Because that's what we're talking about with Nick Chubb. It's what you have to talk about when you build a good football team.
Sure.
We're not used to it in Cleveland. We're not used to having these conversations in Cleveland because we've never had to worry about the salary cap because our team's always sucked. Right. But when you build a team where you want players to play, you've got to find the positions that you can make investments that you don't really even hardly feel on your salary cap, but that can impact the game. I do think the defensive line is one of those. When you look at guys that can be available on the defensive line, just look, Andrew, look at what they could have done. Go back to last offseason and look at non-expensive options that they could have brought in here at defensive tackle and let them play last year.
Right.
On 1 year deals or two. I feel like the defensive line is an area where you can just do that all the time.
I agree.
You can have your big time edge rushers, and then on the interior, you can just constantly be rolling in veteran guys that are really good that want to come play with big time pass rushers. I don't know why they didn't do that last year, but I don't know that I'm expecting them to go out and make this big, massive investment in like defensive tackles. But I think you can bring in pretty big name guys that are maybe a little bit older that can still be really productive on shorter deals and be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, to your point about why they didn't do that in 22, I think that, you know, the conspiracy theory it's not a conspiracy theory. The theory is that they wanted to roll over cap because they knew last year was going to be a long shot anyway, right? And so, you know, there was always a dimension of last year was going to be a little bit of a transitional year because of the Deshaun Watson situation, knowing he was going to get some games and that you weren't probably going to have a realistic shot at the playoffs.
Right.
So did they punt those sorts of opportunities to this year? I think it's probable, honestly, but I also think they have a higher opinion of the guys they've drafted than they have any right to, honestly. Yeah. Right. Like you can say they punted on signing guys and still say they had no business going into a season with Jordan Elliott as penciled in as a starter. That was, I mean, he had already 2 years on film. It wasn't like we didn't know who he was, right? You can say a little bit with Tommy Togiai, well, we haven't really seen him. Maybe he's going to pop. Elliott was a known quantity. We were saying it last summer. He is not good enough to play meaningful snaps in the NFL. And then they ran him out there as a starter, and then they didn't replace him.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's, you know, I think you make such a good point there. I think that's such a reason why it is really hard to have a feel for this team going into this next year, isn't it?
Yes.
Between not getting enough out of Deshaun Watson to just be like super comfortable, and then knowing that they probably did make decisions like that. They probably did make decisions going, well, let's see, maybe Jordan Elliott just one of those guys that's going to come through. Maybe Tommy Togiai, maybe Perrion Winfrey is going to come out and be the dog that he told us he was. And none of them were.
Right.
And so it almost gives you a little hope that I can't believe that they will go into this next season with the same mind frame and say, all right, well, you know what? We tried it last year. We tried to see if some of these guys would hit. None of them hit. This is not the formula that's going to work.
Right.
And so just thinking of it that way makes me feel like if we're thinking about it, they are.
Well, and that's one of the things I was a little dismissive last summer of guys like Mike Clay for ESPN does a great job with this. He looks at every roster across the league and sort of ranks their individual position groups 1 to 32, right? So we had the 32nd best defensive interior. You know, the center group was way down there. Obviously, that turned out to be okay. The tackle group was iffy. The wide receiver group was quite low. And then obviously quarterback was low because Brissett was starting so much. I think safety was lower than I thought it should have been. I saw that through orange colored glasses, so to speak.
Right.
And I thought, okay, these guys are sleeping on some of these players for the Browns. And I think, you know, you got to give a guy like Mike Clay a lot of credit because I think he's doing it pretty accurately. And the areas that he was pointing to ended up being huge issues for the Browns. And so I think, to your point, the question is, do they do things this year that indicate that they understand that those were mistakes and that they're trying to course correct? Or do they lean into that sense of, no, we knew what we were doing when we drafted Jordan Elliott. We want to see him play out his entire rookie contract. We're going to bring him back and start him again next year. I'm not saying that they will, but I think seeing where they're at in another 2 months, by the time we do a free agency period and a draft, and then seeing where independent league experts see them in terms of a roster, right? I mean, people were losing minds about what the Eagles were roster-wise last year, and they were right. The Eagles had the best roster in the league, and it got them to the Super Bowl. So the marker is out there for the Browns in terms of how much talent they need to add. It'll be interesting to see if they get that sort of like objective recognition for doing it, or if it's the same thing as last year where it's like, oh, they didn't add as much talent as I thought they were going to.
So listen, Amatora wants us to get down to brass tacks. Who are the big names coming to? Do you think Browns fans should prepare for a quote unquote big name to come to Cleveland?
What I will say is that I think if they're going to spend money, like real big guaranteed money on a player, I would guess it would be at safety. That's my hunch. There's been a lot of smoke out of the combine about the Browns and Jesse Bates. His price tag is massive, but they have proven they drafted Martin Emerson in the third round, their first pick, when they already had two starting cornerbacks, right? They drafted Greg Newsome when they had Greedy Williams on the run. They have shown again and again that they will invest in the secondary. So If you sign Jesse Bates, think about, I mean, we just talked about objective NFL, you know, wide rankings. Think about where that secondary with Jesse Bates and Grant Delpit and Greg Newsome and Denzel Ward and Martin Emerson, where that group ranks, especially if they add a slot corner as well. I'm just saying the way that this front office has assembled talent, if they were going to spend big, it would make sense. Jesse Bates is 26 years old. Signing him to a 4 or 5 year deal makes more sense than throwing a bunch of money at a defensive tackle.
We've just put cap casualty into the concussion protocol.
I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. Just ask anybody.
Evan Joseph seems like he only gives a shit about the Browns doing stuff on offense. And I think if the Browns showed you anything last year is that they can be good on offense. I mean, like, what they did with Jacoby Brissett and what they were able to throw out there was wild. The fact that they were able to score the amount of points that they were able to score. And why can't we have a Randy Moss is the question. Okay, that's got to be it. That's got to be it. Are we getting trolled?
I think they should call him.
You know what? Call him. He'd probably come out and play.
Get him on the phone.
Listen, but again, I think little moves on offense. You want to bring in DeAndre Hopkins, bring in DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not going to be mad about that, but I think they're little moves on offense away from just being wildly effective. I think they do need a big move or two on that defense. I think you just need it. And so of the available safeties, I tend to agree with you. It was kind of what I was thinking when I saw that question. Big names that might be coming. You see how much these guys value the defensive backfield.
Look at
the way they draft them. Look at why everybody's screaming for wide receivers and everybody's screaming for all these other positions. You got Andrew Berry going, we'll take Greg Newsom. We'll take Martin Emerson. Mm-hmm. They feel like the depth and the amount of playmaker, you can't have too many good playmakers at defensive back. That's you can clearly see that's how they feel.
Yeah.
And so I'd be shocked. Absolutely shocked. If they said, we'll just kind of do a plug and play kind of jag player at safety and we'll invest big money elsewhere. I tend to agree with you, Andrew. I think if they're going to put big money somewhere, I think it's at that safety position.
They need two. Like I doubt we hear as much gimmicky three safety bullshit from Jim Schwartz as we heard from Joe Woods over the years. But regardless, their third safety right now, their second safety right now would be DeAnthony Bell. They don't have any safeties. So, you're not really going through a season with Grant Delpit and whoever they signed to be the other starter without a little bit more cushion. So they really probably need to sign two. So, maybe it's not Bates. But there are other names out there that would make sense. The kid from Philadelphia, Epps, would be one.
Right.
Marcus Epps is a name. I'm drawing a blank on other names right now. I know there's Julian Love, the kid from the Giants, is another safety that has played the slot some and has some flexibility. So it's not like it's just one guy. It's not like it's base or they don't sign some. But I think fixing the John Johnson situation is probably more important to them than people are talking about.
And don't get me wrong, Mick the Dog said, they have the secondary, but we couldn't stop anybody from just running. It goes back to what I was talking about before on the defensive line. I think you can go get really good players for really good value on the defensive line. I think it's a deep pool of guys, veteran players that you can go get on that defensive line. I don't know that I think they're going to go do the big money thing, especially in free agency.
Sure.
At the defensive tackle position. I think there's a deep amount of players you can get there. If I see them putting big money into signing a free agent type player, I agree with Andrew. I think that's more in the secondary. And then you fix the defensive line a different kind of way.
Yeah. I think the thing that makes the most sense for where they are on defensive line to where they need to get is adding four veteran players that have done it at the NFL level. Not necessarily top of the market guys.
Right.
But two guys that can play edge, two guys that can play defensive tackle, and now all of a sudden you've got depth. And I would be fine if none of those guys cost more than $5 or $6 million. But all together, you've changed the face of the room. I saw some people saying like Javon Hargrave. I wouldn't be shocked if they made a strong push at Javon Hargrave. I mean, this is a conversation that I had with Jake on his podcast. if things fall right for this team, if they're getting a yes from Jesse Bates and Javon Hargrave is cheaper than they thought, they could sign both of them. It's not crazy. They have the flexibility underneath the cap to do it. They would be putting themselves in a more tenuous position for the future, but it doesn't mean they couldn't do it for this year. So I think that's worth mentioning too, certainly as we talk about this. You know, the other thing that I wanted to just mention here when we're talking about, you know, the what they do on the defensive line. I mentioned his name earlier, the DeForest Buckner contract. I hadn't really been paying too much attention to that move, but he is owed $20 million this year and $20 million next year, and none of it is guaranteed. It's the Amari Cooper deal. It's the exact same deal. Like, it's a picture of his contract. So, and he's 29. They have a 2-year window. We've talked about that idea this year, next year. So you're getting him for his 29 and 30 seasons. That sort of a move, that sort of a trade going down this weekend, for example, sends it like such a clear signal to the rest of the NFL of where the Browns see themselves that, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it makes a ton of sense for the MO of this front office.
Yeah, spot on. Again, we can talk about all the players that we like.
Sure.
And all the good players out there and what kind of money the Browns should be spending. But again, that's the kind of stuff that you want. That's why you like Andrew Berry, right?
Right.
He's the guy that identified. Nobody saw Amari Cooper coming. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody in
right.
the NFL saw Amari Cooper coming for a 5th-round pick. That's the kind of stuff that you think that I think he's best at doing is identifying that stuff. So that wouldn't surprise me at all either. And again, we all sit there and talk about the salary cap, and it's not a myth. Some people are a little too flippant about the salary cap. The salary cap isn't a myth. And a lot of this stuff that we're talking about is real, but they can fudge around with the cap. And there's room to get these things done.
Yeah.
There's room to get it done.
Andrew, one last thing. Derek Carr today.
One last thing that I see everybody talking about right now is we get to be about a month and a half away from the NFL draft. The Browns going to be picking at 42.
Probably not.
You don't think so? I want to know why that's the assumption.
Because they have 6 draft picks next year and no first round picks, so they need draft capital next year and frankly they like the value proposition. Usually teams that trade up overpay. So if they can take advantage of a team coming up and they can get an extra 3rd next year, easy.
What if there's a guy you really like?
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. You know, in 21, they traded up for JOK. So, you know, if a wide receiver that was supposed to go in the 1st round ends up in the top of the 2nd, do they get aggressive and go up? I could also see that.
Yeah, I think for what the Browns need, for what we've talked about tonight, just raising the floor of the franchise, I think there's going to be a lot of options there at 42. And I think sometimes you can overplay your hand a little bit. And I think it's easy to talk about the value and teams getting over aggressive and trading up and you can get a 3rd rounder next year. But guess what? That 3rd rounder next year is a 3rd rounder. And again, we talk about needing draft capital and that's fine. But like, if we want to have the level of team that we want to have, if you want to have the Super Bowl contending team that you want to have, how many of these draft picks are going to come in and make a difference anyways? So like, if you can get a guy high in the draft at 42, which is still relatively high, and he can come in and make an impact on your team, I feel like there needs to be a little bit of a shift into, we got to just get as many playmakers as we can get. And that doesn't necessarily mean making the most amount of picks.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think, you know, I think I feel like there's a good chance that one of the picks that they have this year will be traded in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, if 98 ends up in Indy for Buckner, now you're going from 42 to 1 something, you know, they're you know, so at that point now dropping back and picking up a 3rd rounder because you won't have one seems like a no-brainer. So, I think that story is going to be written after what happens in free agency happens.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting and we're getting there.
Yeah.
And man, all this stuff is going to, I'm really excited. Just based on the conversation we've had, Andrew, I'm really excited because, again, I don't think we got a great look at what these guys really want to do with this team last year. And now I feel like this is, now you got to. There, because, again, and we've, they, you guys have all said it in the comments, there's no more time for Kevin Stefanski. There's no more time for Andrew Berry. The time is now, and you got to get it done now. So I'm really excited to see what that pressure brings on them and what they and what they're able to do with it, because the Browns got to, the Browns have to be a good football team next year.
Yeah,
they have to be.
Yeah, not just like okay, good, but like good, good,
like a good football team, and that's that's where they've got to be. And that's so it gets me excited. Like maybe that's actually going to happen.
Probably worth talking about that the OBR will be all over this stuff. If something breaks this weekend, we'll probably go live. You know, if they do some big trade, we'll probably go live. I'll be in, you know, I'll be in my pajamas, but you know, that's just going to add to the, you know, the interest of the viewing public. You know, whenever it happens, however it breaks, the OBR is going to cover it, is my point.
Oh, there were so many inappropriate things that went through. I kept them all in, though. That's personal growth, guys.
No, I know.
Personal growth. I kept the comments in.
Wherever you are, you're a better person when you're there.
Paul thinks I'm going to be passed out. Is that what you think of me, Paul, that I'm just passed out all the time?
Yeah, Paul.
That's not what I am.
A little bit of a one-sided vendetta, you know?
Yeah,
or a one-sided, like a one-sided feud. It's like the Hatfields and then some guys that didn't know that they were in a feud with the Hatfields.
Old man yells at cloud. That's
exactly. Now we're now that's more accurate. So my point is just stay tuned to the OBR, please, both the website and our video channels, because all of this stuff will be covered exhaustively.
And again, the website, the amount of stuff. I wish. Here's what I wish you guys knew. I wish you guys knew the excitement level behind the scenes. And the, like the way you guys, Andrew, you and Jake and Cody and all of you guys get excited about the work that you guys are putting out there. It's amazing. So make sure you're tuned into the website for all of the, for all the work, for all the best articles out there. Make sure you're tuned in again, like I said at the beginning of the show, to the streaming network. Tomorrow night, Jake's back with Dueling Mocks. He's got Pete Smith with him tomorrow night for Dueling Mocks. We got Emmett Golden. So Dueling Mocks is 8 o'clock. Garage Beers is 9 o'clock with Emmett Golden. Wednesday, it's OBR Weekly at 7 o'clock with Fred and Barry. And then I don't know what the plan is for All Eyes on Cleveland on Thursday, but it's going to happen Thursday
night.
It'll
be really good. Brad will have a great show getting ready for free agency.
It'll be awesome. And we will have, like Andrew said, anything big goes down for the Cleveland Browns, and we'll get going on breaking news with that. So make sure you're tuned in to all the socials as well. At the OBR on Twitter, the Orange and Brown Report on Instagram, all that stuff. Make sure you're tuned in. So listen, that's going to do it for us. Andrew, it's been a blast over there on Avatar, coming at you live from Washington, D.C.
Oh, our nation's capital.
The city that you, one of the cities that didn't guess, Washington, D.C., one of my favorite places.
That's so weird.
I love this city. It's fascinating. Having a great time here.
Wow. Okay.
So that's it. That's it. We're going to do it. Painting. What's that?
I love your painting.
Thank you. I did not. It's over here.
Yeah.
I did not order it myself. So listen, that's going to do it for Unscripted. Until this time next week, he's Andrew. I'm Mike. We'll see you later. Cheers, everybody. Go Browns.
Bye, everyone.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.